فزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته.
Thank you. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يليقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Excuse me. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا صدق الله العظيم جماعة المسلمين الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Holy Quran بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم and this is in Surah Al-Saba verse number 49 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ أَفْوَنْ لَيْسَ هَذَا جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Surah Al-Isra, أَفْوَنْ Surah Al-Isra, verse number 81. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Say the truth has come and falsehood has perished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا Indeed, falsehood is bound to perish. Now, Jamaat al-Muslimin, when it comes to the truth can stand alone. The truth is like a mountain, can stand alone. But when it comes to falsehood, then you will hear the people of falsehood always trying to cover up their falsehood with other falsehoods. And this is what we have been seeing happening, especially over the last 105 days, but more so over the last 75 or 107 years. Why I say 107 years? Because the British occupied Palestine in 1917. And 76 years, because the Zionist state was established in 1948. So it's now this year, 76 years. In fact, the first lie that was told was a people, or a land without people for a people without land. That was the first lie that was told by the Zionists. That Palestine was a wasteland, a land without people for a people without land. And they've been lying ever since. They have been making falsehood upon falsehood to cover up all their falsehood. And when we look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, and when I speak about the Zionists, we don't equate them with all Jews. Laysu sawa'a. Allah says they are not all the same. They are not all the same. وَقَطَعْنَاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُمَمًا مِنْهُمُ الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ دُونَ ذَلِكَ We scattered them in the earth amongst the nations. Of them they were pious people, living by the Torah, living by the law that was given to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمِنْهُمْ دُونَ ذَلِكَ And they were those other than that, not living by the law. So we don't say that they are all the same. But one thing I can definitely say that أَشْرَارَ الْيَهُودِ If we, because we also have Ashrar, We also have evil people within our ummah. We have killers, rapists, thieves. We have conmen. We have all sorts of things, all sorts of characters within our own ummah, within the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are also definitely not the same. But I would say the most evil from amongst Bani Israel, they are the Zionists. And if that has been something that has been hidden all these years, I think we can definitely say now that the mask is off. And the true evil of Zionism has been exposed. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can describe Ashrar al-Yahud, the wicked from amongst Bani Israel, the wicked, not all the same, the wicked from amongst Bani Israel, as speaking lies against Allah. يَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They speak lies against Allah whilst they know what they are doing. They know that they're speaking lies. If they could do that, then in the presence of Anbiya, in the presence of Mursaleen, in the presence of prophets and messengers of Allah, they could speak lies against Allah, then what about speaking lies against mankind? That should be easy for them. The wicked from amongst them. And if they could kill Anbiya, if they could kill prophets, ذَلِكَ بِأَنُّمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَسَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what became of them. They belied the signs of Allah. And they killed the prophets of Allah unjustly. They disobeyed Allah and they transgressed the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah describing the wicked from amongst Bani Israel at that time. The time of the Anbiya. And we can see who are the wicked of Bani Israel today. I wasn't here last week, but I think that was just shortly after the argument on Thursday that was put forward by the South African legal team. Brilliant! Brilliant! The likes of Sister Adila Hassim, who's a SILC senior counsel, and Max Duplessis and John Dugard, Professor John Dugard, as well as the likes of, I forget his name now. Allahumma salli Sayyidina Muhammad. Our African brother. Inshallah, it will come to me, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. As well as Blini Negrale from Ireland. Brilliant, Allahu Akbar. How she also summed it up, and then the Queen's Counsel, Vaughan Lowe. Vaughan Lowe. A brilliant legal team, a brilliant, an airtight case. 800 legal experts say it's an airtight case, open and shut case. But now, there's course, of course, the angle of politics. That's why, I don't know if you listen to the American political scientist, Norman Finkelstein, who is the son of two Holocaust survivors. And his family on both sides were exterminated in the death camps in Europe in the Second World War. And he, although he doesn't say that he's pro-Palestine, although he is, he says he's pro-truth and justice. And we all know that truth and justice is on the side of the Palestinians. And so, technically speaking, he is pro-Palestine, but he doesn't say it. He says, I'm not pro-Israel, nor am I pro-Palestine. I'm pro-truth, and I'm pro-justice. He says the problem with the 15 judges on the International Court of Justice is that what he believes, this is his perspective, that each judge will vote with the foreign policy of its country. So, of course, America, no. He says, of the 15, because that's not my topic for today, but out of those 15, I'll just shorten it by saying this, he says that only 5, maximum 6, will vote for provisional measures. What are provisional measures? Well, that's what South Africa is asking for. South Africa is not asking for a judgment as to whether it's genocide or not now. It's going to take a few years. What they're asking for are provisional measures, which means cease and desist. Implement a permanent, lasting ceasefire immediately. Stop the carnage. Stop the slaughter. I mean, we're talking over 32,000 shaheed now. Don't say 25,000. What about the 8,000 that are under the rubble? Make it 33,000 shaheed. Over 60,000 injured. Many of them having their limbs amputated. Children, imagine. The other day there was a picture of a doctor amputating the limb of his daughter without anesthesia. Imagine having to do something like that. There are only 6 of the 35 hospitals are partially functioning. 70% of the housing stock in Gaza is destroyed. 90% of the population of Gaza has been displaced. It's almost 2 million people. 90% are homeless. It's winter. It's cold. The people are starving. People are starving. So that is why South Africa is calling for provisional measures. Cease and desist. Netanyahu, the war criminal, has already said it doesn't matter what The Hague says. Doesn't matter what the International Court of Justice says, the so-called highest judiciary organ of the United Nations. Although this is a big test now for the United Nations. If they vote against provisional measures, in my humble view, that's the end of the UN. That's the end of the ICJ. It's the end of the UN. Worthless! Worthless! In 76 years, out of the 80 resolutions, the UN resolutions that were issued with regards to the Zionist state's brutal occupation and all the other crimes against humanity, illegal settlements and what have you, 80 resolutions, not one has been implemented. Not one of all 80 resolutions. So, inshallah, we make dua. We make dua that there are provisional measures. We know it's going to go to the Security Council. We know that the Americans, headed up by genocidal Joe, that the Americans and the British will veto that those provisional measures. But then it goes to the General Assembly. And the General Assembly can do something. They can suspend the Zionist state from the General Assembly, like they did with South Africa in the 80s. Remember that? They can set up an international criminal tribunal and start prosecuting the likes of war criminal Netanyahu and his goons, just like they did with Slobodan Milosevic and Radovan Karadzic, the Serbs that committed genocide against the Bosnians. And they can call for sanctions. Yes, the General Assembly can call for sanctions. And they can make Palestine a fully fledged member of the United Nations. They can do it. They can do it. The Palestinian ambassador to the UK, Hussam Zomlot, had a press conference just 2 days ago. And this is what they're asking for now. Make us a full member. Make us a full member. Never in the history of... Though it doesn't have a long history, but nobody has ever tried to exterminate a fully recognized member of the United Nations. Because that's what's happening here. Genocide equals extermination. And that brings me back to the verse. Sorry, I got my verses mixed up in the beginning. I'm going to say it again. Surah Al-Isra, verse number 81. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Say the truth has come, falsehood has perished, falsehood is bound to perish. Now what is true, what is false? If you listen to the theatrics of the Zionist state on the Friday and all the atrocity propaganda that they mixed in with it, and you would have heard them saying that, in actual fact, the war criminal Netanyahu said it, it's Hamas that should be accused of genocide, not the Zionists. And he keeps referring to Hamas In actual fact, if I'm going to have a conversation about Hamas with, especially if it is a non-Muslim, non-Arabic speaking person, especially if they support the other side, if they support the Zionist state, then I will say to them, what is Hamas? Why are you saying Hamas? Don't say Hamas. Hamas is an Arabic acronym. Translate it. Then we can have a conversation. Because your language is English, I'm speaking in English, let's have a conversation in English. So, Piers Morgan, I'm ready for you. If you ask me, do you condemn Hamas? Then my first question is, what is Hamas? Hamas is an acronym that stands for Harakat al-Muqawamah al-Islamiyah. Harakat al-Muqawamah al-Islamiyah. The Islamic Resistance Movement. Otherwise known as Al-Muqawamah, the resistance. And it doesn't matter. I mean, when it comes to occupation, it doesn't matter whether the resistance is Muslim or Christian or Jewish, whatever the case might be. If we are talking about the merits of the case, let's just say the resistance. For us, it being an Islamic resistance is important because we are Muslimin. But I'm speaking about in this battle of ideas, in this battle between truth and falsehood. For argument's sake, let us just call it the resistance. Now, something they keep saying is, and they said this on Friday, that they started the war. Now, I'm asking you, in the English language, is it possible for the resistance to start a war? Is it possible for the resistance to start anything whilst they are resisting? It's not possible. It doesn't make logical sense. And what you keep hearing from the Zionists is that they refer to the resistance as Nazis. You notice that? They say that the resistance, the Palestinian resistance, are the new Nazis. And when you listen to the press conferences by the resistance, they refer to the Zionists as Nazis. Okay? So they're calling each other Nazis. Now I'm asking the question, which statement is true? Which statement is false? Are the Palestinian resistance fighters behaving like Nazis? Or is the Zionist government and their occupying forces behaving like Zionists? It's a fair question, don't you think so? It's a fair question. Well, let's do an analysis. Let's do a simple analysis. Let's go back to the Second World War. On the 1st of September 1939, Germany invaded Poland. And they occupied Poland. They annexed Poland. They wanted to make Poland a part of the greater Germany, of the Herrenvolk. The Herrenvolk. You know it's the Herrenvolk? The master race. The master race. Now what they'd been doing up to 1939 in Germany, remember Germany only had a population of about 522,000 Jews lived in Germany. Whereas in Poland there were millions. 5, 6, or 7 million. And the largest concentration of Jews in any city was in Warsaw. About plus minus 350,000, a third of the population of Warsaw. And so what Germany did was when they invaded, so there was two things that they were focused on. Number one was conquest, and at the other time, to basically have a Jew-free Germany, whether it was the initial Germany or the greater Germany that they were now creating in the Second World War. And extermination wasn't part of the plan from the outset. Genocide wasn't part of the plan from the outset. From 1933, when the Nazis took power in Germany, their main goal was to get rid of the Jews. And by 1939, at least half the population of the German Jews had left Germany and emigrated elsewhere. They had to leave most of their property behind. And, I mean, it was terrible. Wallahi, as Muslims, in no way we should we diminish in any way the horrors that the Jews in Europe experienced at the hands of the Nazis. Wallah, it was savage. It was in actual fact, we must highlight it. We must highlight what the Jewish people went through in the Holocaust. We must highlight it. Because the more we highlight it, the more it becomes apparent that what the Nazis did to the Jews, the Zionists are doing to the Palestinians. Don't try and sweep it under the carpet. And do not try and justify it. Wallahi, you know, it's unbelievable to see, in fact, how efficient the Germans were in killing in their factories of death. And not just Jews, Gypsies, and even the Slavs. When they took over Warsaw, they divided it up into three sections. A section for the master race, the Aryans, the Witmense. An area for the Poles, for the Slavs. Although they were white, the Germans considered the Poles as subhuman. And they immediately started killing off the intelligentsia and the academics, the cream of the Polish society. And then for the Jews of Warsaw, they made a ghetto. Now, how did they make this ghetto? They took Jews from within the city and from surrounding shtetls, which is the Yiddish word for Jewish village. They ethnically cleansed the Jewish villages. Sound familiar? 1948, they ethnically cleansed the Palestinian villages. And what did they do? They turned them into refugees and they put them in the ghetto, in the Warsaw ghetto, which was the biggest out of 400 ghettos that they set up. The Warsaw ghetto, the Warsaw Jewish ghetto was the biggest. Just like the Gaza ghetto that received the refugees from 1948. I mean, there are eight main refugee camps in Gaza. Jabalia, refugee camp. Nusayrat, refugee camp. Al-Buraj, refugee camp. Dir Balah, refugee camp. Rafah, refugee camp. Khan Yunus, refugee camp. Shati, refugee camp. And Al-Maghazi, refugee camp. Eight refugee camps. Do you know, I actually discovered today there are 58 Palestinian refugee camps. Right now, as we are speaking, in Jordan, in Lebanon, in the West Bank, in Gaza, 58 refugee camps. Most of them from 48, some of them from 67. So, exactly what the Germans did, they invaded Poland. In the case of Palestine, Britain invaded Palestine and basically handed it on a golden platter to the Zionists. The Nazis, they were the ones that invaded Poland and occupied it for themselves. And they started implementing their settler colonial project, bringing in more Germans and getting rid of non-Germans. How did they get rid of the Jews in the Warsaw ghetto? They set up a death camp at Treblinka. Treblinka, like Auschwitz, like Birkenau, like Dachau. These were all death camps, factories of death. Wallahi, harrowing what they did, harrowing. And I'm going to come back to the death camps now. We don't have death camps for Palestinians, but what's the difference between putting somebody in a gas chamber or dropping a 2,000 kilogram bomb on them? The end result is the same, death, extermination. And just like it wasn't in the initial outset, I mean, like from 1910, and the proof is that half of the Jews left Germany between 33 and 39 under the Nazis. They left Germany. So it wasn't the initial goal to exterminate them or to commit genocide against them. But as the war progressed until the final solution in 1942, where they said, okay, now just kill them, get rid of them. But the main similarities I want you to go home and study is the similarity between the Gaza ghetto and the Warsaw ghetto. What's the first thing they did in the Warsaw ghetto? So they started gathering up the people in October, in the ghetto. You can actually see them with their horses and their donkeys and all their belongings. Can you imagine pictures of Palestinians with horses and donkeys and belongings? Exactly the same thing. They put them in the ghetto and then they walled the entire ghetto up. So can you imagine like a road going into Cape Town? Strand Street, you know? You get to where the bridge goes from the station to the Golden Acre. Okay, no more of that. We built a 10-foot wall. 10-foot wall. On every single road, every single entry point into the Warsaw ghetto, they built a 10-foot wall. Nobody could go in or out except with the express permission of the Nazis. They even issued work permits, just like with the Gazans. People of Gaza, actually, fact, on the 7th of October, there were 18,000 Gazans out of the 2.3 million in the most densely populated place on earth. The Warsaw Ghetto, by the way, which was the size, it was 3.4 square kilometers, 2.4% of the city of Warsaw, with a population of plus minus at its height, 400,000 people, with 6 to 9 people living in an apartment. That was at the beginning of this latest bombardment. It ended up with sometimes 50 to 100 people in an apartment in Gaza. But just look at the similarities. So walled in ghetto. Gaza from 2006 has been under a suffocating blockade, surrounded by a wall, surrounded by a security fence, with a suffocating blockade from the air, from the sea, and from the land. They immediately started restricting food. Look at the Nazis. What did they do? They restricted food, fuel. There was hardly any clean water to drink in the Warsaw ghetto. People died of starvation. And this we see unfolding right in front of our eyes in Gaza today. People are being starved. One of the most shocking things was in a documentary I watched about Treblinka. And the person that was in charge of Treblinka, a Nazi SS officer by the name of Franz Stengel. Franz Stengel. Franz Stengel, in fact, they even like had a competition. Which death factory, which concentration camp or extermination camp was more efficient? His was the most efficient. In fact, he was in charge of two, Treblinka and another one. After the war, he escaped to Brazil. In 67, they nabbed him, gave him a life sentence. He died 6 months later. But while he was in prison, he was interviewed. And they asked him, in these extermination camps, why did you have to go to such lengths to humiliate, to degrade, to demoralize, and to dehumanize the Jews? You know what he answered? He said, it made it easier to kill them. It made it easier to kill them. Jamaat Muslimin, I know it's very hot today. I'm not going to go any further. But we need, this is a battle of ideas. We need to equip ourselves with knowledge. What the Nazis did to the Jews, the Zionists are doing to the Palestinians. How many of the ministers in Netanyahu's cabinet have referred to the Palestinians as human animals? In fact, they're not the first. Begin, Menachem Begin, called Palestinians are beasts walking on two legs. So the dehumanization of Palestinians has been coming on for a long time. And just like extermination wasn't the initial goal, genocide wasn't the initial goal of the Nazis. It became their goal. And like Ilan Papi said in the documentary on the massacre of Tantura, the Palestinian village on the Mediterranean, beautiful village, Tantura, Ramle, Lid, Deir Yassin. This is just some of the massacres that took place in 48. He said that the plan was clear. Ben Gurion gave clear instructions. Encourage the Palestinians to leave. If they don't leave, terrorize them into leaving. Just like Hitler did between 33 and 39. And if they resist, massacre them. Well, why I'm mentioning Warsaw Jewish ghetto today is because it's the only ghetto that experienced an uprising on the 19th of April, 1943. And you know what? The Jewish resistance, there was two groups, ZOB, Z-O-B, and W, or Z-Z-W. There were two Jewish resistance groups in the Warsaw ghetto. They rose up on the 19th of April, 1943, and they had handmade grenades and bombs with which they blew up the German tanks and killed a number of the German soldiers. And they hid in bunkers and tunnels that they had made underneath the Warsaw ghetto. In fact, because of the food shortages, they were even smuggling. And they used children to smuggle food in from outside the ghetto into the ghetto. Just like our brothers and sisters have been doing, smuggling in food from the Egyptian side since 2006. Especially in the Philadelphia corridor. And that's why Netanyahu wants to get that corridor now. To cut off all supplies. And the resistance went on for a couple of months. I think it was in May. The resistance capitulated. And 7,000 resistance fighters and people that took part in the resistance were marched off to an extermination camp. And the Warsaw ghetto was burnt and razed to the ground. Flattened. So, Jamaat al-Muslimin, for it to have happened in the Second World War, and for the world to have established the League of Nations and then the United Nations, for it never to happen again. Never again, they have said. But yet, not only is it happening again, التاريخ يعيد نفسه, history repeats itself. Not only is it happening again, but it's happening live in front of our very eyes. And the Europeans, most of them, except maybe the Irish, and not even the Irish government. The Irish government refuses to call for a ceasefire. That the European world is still granting, and Germany, how disgusting! Hats off to the, or kufiyas on, for the Namibian president. I say hats off, I say kufiyas on. For the Namibian president who called out the German government for committing the first genocide in the 20th century in Namibia between 1904 and 1908, where they murdered tens of thousands of Name and Harere people. Disgusting. That the Germans haven't learned anything from what their forefathers committed in the Second World War. They've learned nothing. And they actually want to now support and make representation on behalf of the Zionists, the new Nazis, in the International Court of Justice. أصبح الحق باطلا والباطل حقا. Truth has become falsehood and falsehood has become truth. ولن يرفع صوت الباطل إلا إذا غفل أهل الحق. And the voice of falsehood will never be raised as long as the people of truth go to sleep. So we must recognize what was done to the Jews in Europe in the Second World War. Wallah, it was a savage, horrendous, evil act. But why must the Palestinians pay for it? Why doesn't Germany say, okay, listen guys, this has gone along far too long. We actually, after the war, we should have given a nice big chunk of Germany to the Jews. I mean, they've given them enough money. Since the end of the Second World War, Germany has paid $80 billion in reparations and compensation to the Holocaust survivors. Why must the Palestinians give up their land? Give up their freedom? Give up their human rights? And be massacred and murdered for the crimes that another people committed. قُلْ جَاءَ وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. And say the truth has come and falsehood has perished. Falsehood is bound to perish. The truth will prevail, Jamaat al-Muslimin. We must just not to be scared to speak the truth. May Allah cause us to see the liberation of Palestine, of Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa, of the Holy Land in Masjid al-Aqsa in our lifetime. وَرْزُقَنَا صَلَاةً فِيهِ وَوَحُرًّا عَزِيزٍ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة.
الحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب يا ربي يا ستار العيوب استر عيوبنا يا ربي يا غفار الذنوب اغفر ذنوبنا يا ربي يا مفرج الكروب فرج كروبنا يا ربي يا علام الغيوب